Good morning, I'm Kyle Omler, the guru, Chris Molina, and this is week 10 of fantasy football.
Wow.
It's getting exciting here. Obviously, you got to make sure that if you have dead weight on your roster, you cut it. You got two kickers, and one of the kickers is done with their bye. Get rid of them. It's time to start backing up players that are of significant value. You know, like somebody like, Nile Davis is somebody who comes to mind right away for me. Grab him because Jamal Charles is an injury away from being out, and you got to sling him in there. Any suggestions you can think of right now? I know I kind of put you on the spot here.
No, I mean, those are definitely things you got to look at. You got to start looking at, any team that looks like it may run away with it, you know, in their division. So, which we don't have a lot of that, but, guys you want to start looking at are that type players, you know, who's injury prone, you know, DeMarco Murray, his backup, stick with him, you know, because he didn't look all that great and he barely ran him last week. So you want to look at the Dunbar potentially there. That's one that stands out for me. Andre Brown.
Yeah, I'm a big advocate in grabbing running backs late in the year because of the wear and tear that these poor running backs take all season long.
Well right. And Mike James was another one. I mean, you didn't know what he was going to do. He had a so-so first game, but he tore it up last week. So, yeah, you want to start looking at running backs who may, as the season goes on, James Starks. You know, they're going to want to lighten the load, and especially with Aaron Rodgers being out, lighten the load on Eddie Lacy, who's a beast. You know, you're going to sprinkle in a lot more James Starks. So, you know, these are the type of guys you're going to want to, you want to grab. Look for who has a serviceable backup, who has a lot of carries so far this year, and start looking, and they have a potential to get into the playoffs. They may lighten their load a little bit.
Speaking of a running back who's had a lot of carries, our very first game we're going to cover, Marshawn Lynch, going against Atlanta. Atlanta, their offense is non-existent, it seems. They're going against Seattle, and Seattle's defense is pouring it on. This could be bad. Yeah, I know it's not. It's in Atlanta, so that helps a little bit because Seattle obviously is a different team at home. But is this going to get ugly fast?
Yeah, I don't really see a must start. I mean, there aren't a lot of them in this game at all, either side. I'm going to say, Matt Ryan, he's someone you have to sit. I know a lot of people drafted him as his number one, and hopefully you listened to us early in the year and looked at guys like, Roethlisberger and Rivers. Those are guys who are going to have to play instead of Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's a must sit. I'm not playing Jaquez Rodgers. I'm not playing Steven Jackson. I'm not playing Roddy White. In a deeper league, or as a number three wide receiver, I'd play Harry Douglas. And you're going to play Tony Gonzalez. He's going to get his points as a tight end. Again, it's not it's not to the point where he's not going to get any production. So, on the other side, I'm only playing Marshawn Lynch. Again,
boy, I think that has been 10 weeks in a row you said that, and it's been right every week. I'm just going to point out that every week it's only Marshawn Lynch.
Lynch. And you don't know. And that goes to another one. Start looking at one of his backups because, they're going to want to keep him fresh for the playoffs. And right for when our playoffs hit, you're going to want to make sure you have some guys available, because, again, these injuries are happening and big names have gone down this year. So
Doug Baldwin got a little bit more action, though, in that last game. Is he on the upswing or is that was just more of a fluke? Doug Baldwin.
Who's that?
Doug Baldwin.
Yeah. I mean, it's Golden Tate 1 week. It's Doug Baldwin another. Now Percy Harvin's coming back. Then there's going to be the games that Russell Wilson's just completely unproductive. All these, quarterbacks, Kaepernick, Russell, they've all taken a little bit of a step back this year. I'm not trusting any of those wide receivers. I'm not. Even though Atlanta's defense has been bad, only one I'm playing on that team is Marshawn Lynch. And, on the other side, again, Tony Gonzalez is the must start. And in a deeper receiver league or for a flex player, I would look at Harry Douglas because he seems to be the guy who's getting all the catches outside for them.
Baltimore and Cincinnati, it looks like Cincinnati is going to run away with this division, maybe a bit of a changing of the guards with the division being dominated for so long by Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Right.
It looks as though Cincinnati's in charge and Cleveland is, I know they're kind of rebuilding, but they're actually respectable. So,
yeah.
the wide receiver blows up, has a ridiculous game, kind of comes back to reality, but is he still a viable option to start at all?
Marvin Jones?
Marvin Jones, yes.
You got it. Well, see, the thing, you know, if you watch the game on Halloween, he had a 50-yard touchdown called back.
Oh.
Yeah, so his production's there. I mean, Sanu got a bunch of catches, a lot more than he in targets. He's back, as is Hawkins. So you're going to see maybe a little bit of a drop from him and A.J. Green. But, you know, and the thing was, he didn't get the touchdown because of the holding penalty. He was already past the play when that holding penalty happened. It really shouldn't even have been called. So he had a 50-yard touchdown call back. So in a lot of leagues, you get bonus points for that. Giovanni Bernard is showing why he's, you know, was the first running back drafted. I'm still leery on. He's been too inconsistent to be a must start. He's getting there, and he's a little banged up. So I would stay away from him because again, every game matters now. It's coming towards the end of the year. Can't make any mistakes. But Andy Dalton, off of a bad game, I think he's a must start this week. I like him against Baltimore's defense. I love A.J. Green. I'm staying. Marvin Jones is a must start. I think he's a good, solid number two, number three wide receiver. I would play him over a bunch of receivers that are out there that are underproducing. Like, I would play him over Brown. I'd play him over Antonio
Brown.
Really,
that one is a stretch. How about Hakeem Nicks?
Over Hakeem Nicks. I'd play him over Ruben Randall. I would play him over Marquise Colston or anyone else on New Orleans. I'm playing him over Mike Wallace. I'm playing him over Torrey Smith, who's in this game. He's producing. So he's and with that offense and, you know, and the keying on A.J. Green, he's the number two that they've been searching for. So if you were able to get him, pick him up on waivers, or were as smart as me in drafting him, you're going to reap the rewards down the stretch for him. So he's a must-start. A.J. Green's a must-start. Andy Dalton's a must-start. I'm still staying away from the tight end situation in Cincinnati. I'm staying away from the running back situation. Even though Bernard had a big game, I'm still not sold he's going to get enough carries as a number two running back or a flex, maybe. But I think there's so many better options out there. As far as Baltimore, boy, is Ray Rice dropped.
Yeah.
This is surpassing the Eddie George drop from years past. Eddie George went from extremely productive to terrible.
Great analogy, and I think you're right. It is surpassing that because at least they were still trying to give Eddie George the ball.
Now they're not even trying, and you think they would do it a lot more. And, you know, Torrey Smith's been hit or miss all year. You know, he hasn't been consistent enough to say get him in your lineup. Again, in a deeper wide receiver league, I'd say of course, but ultimately, you know, there's really nobody on this roster I'd feel comfortable saying play him.
There was a lot of buzz out on the interweb about their other wide receiver, Marlon Brown.
Started off strong.
Yeah.
I liked, again, he came out of nowhere, and, you know, so kind of I wasn't drinking the Kool-Aid. But again, that offense is so inconsistent, he's not worthy of a start. Unless you go four wide receivers and you're desperate because of bye weeks or injuries.
But what about the fact that they just throw? I mean, they don't even run anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's got to give him a little bit of a boost, right? I mean, just to say, well, Flacco's going to drop back and throw it 75 times a game, so somebody's got to catch it, right?
Yeah, but they're using Dallas Clark a little bit more, and, you know, I don't know. Just because he's dropping back, he's going to be under a lot of pressure against the Cincinnati defense. So he's not going to be able to drop back and just fling the ball around. So I really see a really long day for that Baltimore offense. This is a 27-10 type of game.
Gotcha. Bears going against Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit is coming off of a bye. So they're well rested. They're healthier. Reggie Bush has had time to rest his knee get back into business. The Bears, they're still – now there's rumors that – Cutler might be coming back. He's not coming back this week, though, so we don't have to worry about that. So who do we need to focus on? Obviously, Reggie Bush. We know Reggie Bush, right?
Reggie Bush, like you said in the beginning year, is a monster. Matthew Stafford's a must-start. Reggie Bush is a must-start. Obviously, Megatron, we're not opening anybody's eyes with those three suggestions. But, you know, if you're struggling at running back or one of your running backs is on a bye, I think Joik Bell was always worthy of a start. He's your goal line guy. He's going to get you 60 combined yards and potentially a touchdown or two. I mean, look at the last game they played. I mean, they were inside the five times or something. He easily could have got all five touchdowns. But, you know, so I would say Joik Bell is somebody you want to put in your lineup. Again, you got New England out, so there's no Stephen Ridley. There's no Jamal Charles this week. So, yeah, if you really don't have depth and there's not a lot of depth at running back, you know, Joik Bell is worthy of getting in there in a flex position.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. If people aren't having, and of course, they're not everybody sees all these games, but if you watch the games, they will pull Bush out immediately when they get inside the 10. Yeah. Bell's in. Joik Bell's in. He's going to get the goal line carries. They don't even have Bush in the game. So he's absolutely the touchdown vulture. And another guy is they've been searching for that tight end to fill Pettigrew's ineptitude. And I know that they're saying, well, Fourier, you know, he only catches so many balls a game, but he's getting more and more action. He's at least getting the attempts.
Not enough for me to want to play him, though.
Not enough still for you?
No, no. Okay. I'm still staying away from that. I mean, they're throwing a Megatron. You know, they haven't had a number two still. I mean, I know they're saying that Burleson will be back, so he's somebody to keep an eye on. Maybe you want to jump on him. If you really don't have a waiver move and you got some dead weight, jump on Burleson. He could have a good, nice – he's got fresh legs. I mean, his arm is broken, not his legs. So he should, you know, he could be fresh towards the end of the year and could put up some big numbers. But, yeah, I would stay away from that. As far as Chicago, I mean, they looked really good on Monday night. I mean, Forte's a must start. Martellus Bennett is a must start. Alshon Jeffries is right there. And Brandon Marshall. I mean, Brandon Marshall's a monster. You know, I don't know if you saw in our Dynasty League, I lost by 0.11 points this week.
Yeah, and I did see that.
I'm waiting for a stat correction.
It has to be the smallest margin of victory ever.
Ever. Yeah, and it was that last throw to Brandon Marshall that got me. So he's a must start. Jeffries has turned it on and it turned the corner and is a fantasy option now. Martellus Bennett, absolutely, and Forte. So this is a game with a lot of fantasy implications. You probably either have somebody starting in this game or you're going to be going against somebody who has somebody in this game. So a good one to watch, and a lot of fantasy players are going to be available for this game.
Aaron Rodgers gone 3-4 weeks. They're actually talking about him coming back in 3 weeks, which surprises me, you know, with the collarbone injury and him having to run around. I don't know if I would be willing as a franchise to risk putting him back in. Let him make sure he's healed, obviously. But they're not going to have him, obviously, this week. Eddie Lacy, they'll lean a lot on. They're down wide receivers. Philadelphia's going to come in with their high-flying offense. Is this going to be a completely lopsided battle because Green Bay is just unbelievably undermanned at this point?
Well, the plus is they're going against a very poor defense. I mean, the Bears at least have some corners who can play and cover. So guys like Miles White and Boykin were unproductive last week or Monday night. So, well, the Eagles don't have that. So Seneca Wallace immediately becomes a little bit better. Now, he's not going to be Aaron Rodgers by any stretch of the imagination, but you'll see a lot more production out of the wide receivers. Based on that, the only guy I'm playing out of the wide receivers and tight end is going to be Jordy Nelson. I'm not playing any of the other ones.
I can't even – I'm looking at this offensive lineup for Green Bay. Seneca Wallace, Eddie Lacy, Andrew Quarles, Jarrett Boykin. Oh, my gosh. This is
I said earlier, jump on a guy like James Starks. Another guy, let's look on the other end of the other side. You know, we talked about running backs that we may want to jump on. Bryce Brown comes to mind.
Good one, yeah.
You know, because LeSean McCoy, he's going to wear out. I mean, he was already saying he's getting the ball too much. You also can see his production's gone, you know, down from those first couple of weeks. Nick Foles, I love the guy. I just think he's, you know, get him. When they make the announcement, this is your team, I think you're going to see a lot better, even a better quarterback than what you see now. He's been very... He's good at beating up bad teams.
I'm telling you, he hasn't had a bigger cheerleader than this podcast. We've been talking about him since last year.
I said he would actually be the second best. When we talk 5 years from now, he would be the second best quarterback of that draft class. And you know, it was like, oh, I mean, I remember all the posts. You're crazy. You know, RG3 and this one and that one. the things I saw from Nick Foles, the poise, the decision making, you know, he's going to be the real deal. And
I saw it on display in a ridiculous fashion. Obviously, right. That's not, you're not going to throw seven touchdown passes.
But you see,
a person who doesn't have the skills would never be able to do that, though.
Right.
So that was a ridiculous situation, but he pulled it off.
Well, and you can't really say, well, Oakland stinks. Well, they did help Ben Roethlisberger down to next to nothing the week before. You know, they held for three quarters and a half. They held the Chiefs down. Mm-hmm. So they're not a terrible team. The Eagles were struggling on offense worse than any team I've ever seen in the history of pro football. And then all of a sudden snapped out of it in a big way. But you know what? In this game, they're going to get a lot of opportunities to throw the ball. And I'm going to say Nick Foles is worthy of a start. If you had Matt Ryan or you had Brady on a bye, Nick Foles is, I say, very worthy of a start, as is McCoy, as is DeSean Jackson. I'm not jumping on the Riley Cooper bandwagon just yet.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that.
I'm not. You know, he had a huge game, but everybody did last week.
Yeah.
He's been too inconsistent, and at this time of year, I'm looking for guys I can count on. And it's great to get that big, huge game, but you need to get consistent points every week. And this is the type of game where if Foles reverts back to the unproductive Nick Foles because he is going against a better team, well, all the receivers are going to suffer. So I wouldn't risk it. I would look for better options. If you don't have any options as a number three or four wide receiver or flex player, yeah, Riley Cooper. DeSean Jackson has been playing great all year. Every game he's had decent numbers. So there's a lot of options there for this game. I mean, Eddie Lacy is a stud. If you're desperate for a running back, I have no problem saying play James Starks or Bryce Brown if desperate. So, another game with good fantasy options in it.
You were talking about second-year quarterbacks taking a bit of a dip with Jamarcus Russell and RG3 and, you know, these kind of guys. But the one who hasn't at all is Andrew Luck. His legend just keeps building. I didn't even want to finish watching that game last night or last week against the Houston Texans. I was like, I'm not going to worry. I couldn't stop watching the game. I could not believe what was happening. He was so poised. And he got beat up in that first half, and he comes out the second half. And you never saw him frazzled. You didn't see him go over to the sidelines yelling at anybody. He just came out in the second half, business as usual, and just tossing it to T.Y. Hilton, who just, again, looked amazing in the second half.
Yeah, we talked about him. I think when we look at our top 20, I think I had T.Y. Hilton in there.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt he was going to be a very productive player this year, and I think he was going to be a little bit of passing in the guard from
Reggie Wayne.
Yeah. And unfortunately it was via injury, but the things we pretty much said, we didn't see anything out of Darius Hayward Bay. I don't expect it much. They didn't get a lot of opportunities, a lot of chances with the ball, but they made the most of it last week. Trent Richardson still disappointing. If you have a better option, he's someone you're going to sit. Heck, Donald Brown right now is a better option at running back. So that's a real muddy situation. I mean, but the Rams have been atrocious at stopping the run. So, I mean, do you go another week with Trent Richardson? I would. You got to keep playing him because you just hope he's going to have that breakout game. There's not a lot of running backs. There's not a lot of people to replace him with. You know, so you got to play Trent Richardson. You got to play T.Y. Hilton. Of course, Andrew Luck. On the deeper leagues, Donald Brown. On the other end, got a new sheriff in town running the ball there. His name's Zach Stacy.
Yeah, he looks good.
Yeah, big, powerful runner. He'll come down to earth this week against Indianapolis. If you have another option running back, I would go against, and I would not say don't play Zach Stacy this week. But again, there's such a limited selection of running backs. If you got a guy who could put up points, you're almost to the point where you're going to play him.
Well, he's really had some tough matchups on paper, and he has made those tough matchups look easy.
Yeah.
So you can't sit this guy.
No.
If he's healthy and playing.
No, you play him. But I'd be very, very cautious this week. And I think a lot of fantasy owners who are finally like, I got that stud running back, are going to be disappointed. Just the matchup doesn't work. They're going to be playing from behind. They're not, they're going to try, you know, again, these teams want to run the ball to slow the game down when potent offenses are on the other side. You know, one or two, three and outs, and that's out the window.
Yeah.
So be real careful with Zach Stacy this week.
Do they have any pass catchers there at all worth looking at? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so that's why I say, again, Zach Stacy, because they don't have anybody that's going to catch the ball, nobody that's consistent.
Yeah.
And the Tavon Austin came out and said, oh, he's a little bit more of a transition than he expected into the pros. Understatement really? Of the year, you think?
Of the century.
I can't believe how, yeah, you're clearly not ready to be in the pros. I mean, that is bad, bad situation there. Giants going against Oakland. Eli Manning has been an absolute disaster. He is
not
bringing
anymore.
Everybody down. Oakland is the happy medicine.
I think so. Foles just threw 7 touchdowns against them. I would say off a bye week, this Giants team is going to get healthy and make their run to win the division. 0-6 to winning their division. I just have that feeling that's the direction this team's going to go. So I think you're going to see a lot more better decisions from Eli Manning, a more established running game with the return of Andre Brown,
mm-hmm.
with the use of Peyton Hillis, and then which just means their play action, which hasn't been there all year, will be there, which is going to free up Victor Cruz and Reuben Randall. Hakeem Nicks to me I would not play Hakeem Nicks. I'd play Reuben Randall over Hakeem Nicks. On the other end, McFadden, I mean, there's really nobody I would play other than Denarius Moore. And if you're desperate at a quarterback, maybe Terrell Pryor. Again, if you have Tom Brady or sitting or Alex Smith as your quarterback, you're going to sit those guys and you're going to play. You'd play Terrell Pryor. But in this game, I'm playing Manning. I'm starting Randall and Victor Cruz, and on the other side, I'm playing Denarius Moore. And I'd start Terrell Pryor as a backup if you need to go with a backup.
Yeah, I have a hard time starting any of those receivers in Oakland, though, because it's such a big boom or bust.
Correct.
Like you said, Denarius Moore, well, he's basically reliant on Terrell Pryor to throw one pass to him.
Yeah.
And that's an awful lot to swallow for me. I am very risk-averse when it comes to players. So he's a flex only for me. I can't do anything about it. I'd rather start Hakeem Nicks. I know you said not to. I would rather start Hakeem Nicks before I'd start Denarius Moore.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm not happy starting either one of them, obviously.
I wouldn't play Nicks at all. I think he's checked out.
Oh, yeah. You could be right. But he's still getting targeted. But is he actually looking for the targets? I don't know anymore either.
Right.
He hasn't performed all year. Steelers going against Buffalo. C.J. Spiller wasn't even supposed to play last week. And yet he comes out and has one of the best games he's had all season. And this with their backup quarterbacks. And Thaddeus Lewis, he's supposed to be in there this week. E.J. Manuel, he's still not 100% healthy. So, and then we go over to the other side. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, these guys going to put up some numbers that everybody should be happy with?
Well, Pittsburgh's atrocious on defense. So there's going to be a lot of fantasy points in this game. And Buffalo's defense actually has been pretty good. So, again, Ben Roethlisberger, again, if you have a Matt Ryan or your quarterback on a bye, Ben Roethlisberger is a definite start this week. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball, so that it's gonna, for them to win, he's going to have to throw it, which means Heath Miller is a must start. Antonio Brown, I don't know. I just don't see it fantasy-wise this year. He started off really good. One game, he had 12 receptions.
Yeah, he really
but, you know, you can get 6 catches, 70 yards from just about anybody. I'm really disappointed in his fantasy production this year. If you want to play him on name alone and because he's a number one wide receiver or because you drafted him as high as you did in your league, play him. But if there's other options, I'd play Harry Douglas over him right now.
Really?
I would play Kenny Stills from New Orleans over him right now. So these are guys that are just, you know, I just don't see it. I mean, Cotchery got 3 touchdowns last week. You know,
that's not happening, yeah.
Well, right. The point is it wasn't Antonio Brown getting any.
That's true.
You know, that's my point. I mean, Manuel Sanders was targeted more. And You know, it's just not good for Antonio Brown. On the other end, yeah, I mean, you know, Fred Jackson's been productive, gets you about 10 points a game, but that's about it. He's not giving you 20. Spiller has that potential, especially where the Steelers' defense is playing, take one to the house every time he catches the ball. I think he's a must-start, C.J. Spiller. And another guy I like, again, I'd play this guy over Antonio Brown, is Stevie Johnson.
Yeah.
Healthier and healthier every week, getting targets, 6 or 7 catches last week. Stevie Johnson in a deeper league is definitely a start. So usually there's not a lot of options in games to Buffalo and Pittsburgh, but this week, because of the way the Steelers' defense is playing, there's definitely a lot of fantasy options in this game.
And C.J. Spiller getting a little healthier, it looks like. Because, again, he was not.
But that opens up the whole offense.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. I mean, he wasn't supposed to play. I was telling people, don't start him. Don't start him. He's not going to play. He's not going to play. Right. Make sure he's on your bench. Don't believe anything that they're saying. Boom, he comes out and has over 100 yards. Makes me look like a fool, obviously. So that was the first 7 games. We got 7 more that we're going to talk about tomorrow. So hopefully you got everything out of these first 7 games that you needed to set your lineups. Tomorrow, come back, tune us in, and you will have the rest of them. For Chris Molina, I'm Kyle Almler, and you've been listening to The Blitz.
Later.